Tatpada bhaktyavayam ishanuritaha. Deva uchu. Namo namaste kila yagna tantave. Stito guhitamala sattva murtaye. Disjahato yam jagatam aruntudas. Tvatpada bhaktya vayam ishanivrita. Sito grihitamala sattva murtaye. Nishnava toya mutata paramtada. Vata mutata vada ishwana vataha. Deva uchuhu. Namo namaste kila yagna tantave. Sita grihatamala sattva murtaye. Disjato yam jagatam aruntudas. Vatabhadata vayantin satin vita. Vaishnavis. Deva uchuhu. Namo namaste kila yagna tantave. Sito grihitamala sattva murtaye. Tato yam jagatam aruntudas. Tvatpada bhaktya vayam ishanuritaha. Deva ucha. Namo namaste kila yagna tantave. Sito grihitamala sattva murtaye. Jahata yam jagatam aruntudas. Deva uchu. Namo namaste kila yagna tantave. Sito grihitam sattva murtaye. Disjohato yam jagatam aruntada. Deva Jai, thank you. Devaha, the demigods, Uchu, said, Nama, obeisances, Nama, obeisances, Te, unto you, Akila Yagna Tantave, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, Stito, for the purpose of maintaining, Grihita, assumed, Amala, pure, Sattva, goodness, Murtaye, form, Disjya, fortunately, Hataha, slain, Ayam, this, Jagatam, to the worlds, Aruntuda, causing torment, Twatpada, to your feet, Bhaktya, with devotion, Vayam, we, Isha, O Lord, Nivrita, have attained happiness. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods address the Lord. All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion at your lotus feet. Purport. The material world consists of three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the spiritual world is pure goodness. It is said here that the form of the Lord is pure goodness, which means that it is not material. In the material world, there is no pure goodness. In the Bhagavatam, the stage of pure goodness is called Sattvam Visuddham. Visuddham means pure. In pure goodness, there is no contamination by the two inferior qualities, namely passion and ignorance. The form of the boar, therefore, in which the Lord appeared, is nothing of the material world. There are many other forms of the Lord, but none of them belong to the material qualities. Such forms are non-different from the Vishnu form, and Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. The sacrifices which are recommended in the Vedas are meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In ignorance only, people try to satisfy many other agents. But the real purpose of life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. All sacrifices are meant to please the Supreme Lord. The living entities who know this perfectly well are called demigods, godly or almost God. Since the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, it is his duty to serve the Lord and please him. The demigods are all attached to the personality of Godhead, and for their pleasure, the demon, who was a source of trouble to the world, was killed. Purified life is meant to please the Lord, and all sacrifices performed in purified life are called Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness is developed by devotional service, as clearly mentioned here. Jai. Om Gyana Tamananda Shya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmalitamina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Tubischa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. The demigods address the Lord. All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who is a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you. And we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion at your lotus feet. So this reminded me of a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatapasyam sarvalokamaheshwaram suidam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam santimrichati. Prabhupada quoted this verse in the 8th canto when they were churning the ocean of milk and Sri Lakshmi appeared. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, he quotes this verse and he says, this is a peace formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita. And that's the 529. So here's the translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives one paragraph there and he says, when people know that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the most intimate, well-wishing friend of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensue all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls, being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord, want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all wealth presented by Sri, the goddess of fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So that's a nice reminder. And this pastime is like visually describing this, how Krishna is the supreme controller, right? He's the proprietor and he's the enjoyer. And plus he's the friend. And see how he's a friend of his devotees, protecting them. So here we are in this last chapter, 19. But these pastimes we've just recently viewing here is from chapter 17 to 19. Showing the victory, you know, of Hiranyaksha over the directions, how he conquered the world, like the universe, you know, and that's this particular one here. And all these different chapters there. So in chapter 17, just to give you a quick summary, since we're on the last chapter, this is where it describes the demon Hiranyaksha, who tormented the world and challenged the authority of the demigods, and his power cast an ominous darkness over the world. And this is where he was born of Diti and given the boon by Brahma that made him virtually immortal to any living being. And thus he became very arrogant and he disturbed the world. So then we go to chapter 18. Just a quick summary. This is where Hiranyaksha, he dived into the ocean and challenged Varuna. And Varuna told him that only Lord Vishnu could defeat him. And then on Brahma's request, Lord Vishnu then appeared as a boar, Lord Vraha. And he fought Hiranyaksha. And then Brahma and the demigods praised Vraha and asked him to kill this demon. So the devotees are requesting. And then we go to chapter 19, the chapter we're on now. And this is where Vraha and Hiranyaksha, they fought very fiercely with the various mystical weapons and powers were being employed. But ultimately, with just one strike from Lord Vraha's hoof from behind the ear, Lord Vraha was killed. Hiranyaksha was killed. And it kept intact all the boons from Lord Brahma. So we're here now in this part where the demigods are praising Vraha for alleviating their torment by killing this demon who had disturbed the worlds. So we see that we're learning that the Supreme Lord appears in various incarnations, and none of these are material, and they appear to protect the devotees and defeat the demons who challenge his authority and harass the universe. So here in these narrations, it removes all our sinful reactions and gives liberation. So there's a lot of additional lessons we could learn from this chapter. So he also protects religious principles, and that it doesn't matter how powerful you are materially, it's nothing. It's very insignificant to Krishna. And how Krishna is so concerned more about his devotees than himself, really, because he ignored the demons' insults and threats and everything, and he just ignored him, put the earth in a safe place, and then he came back and fought. So this is nice. So these are the different lessons we can learn from this particular chapter. So this is a verses we're at, is right here in text number 29 and 30. So that's when Brahma and others praise Hiranyakashipu. So it described here in this verse and purport actually says, the demigods, all obeisance is unto you. You are the enjoyer of all the sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. So we see Vraha's body is actually the form of sacrifice. And in the 13th chapter, there's a couple verses there, a few verses that describe his body here as all these sacrifices. And you can see there's the verses on the left, 35, 36, 37, and 38. And it talks all about his skin is like the Vedic hymns, his bodily hair is the kusha grass, his eyes are the ghee, his four legs is the four actions of the Hota, Advaryu, Adgata, and the Brahma. That's the Chaturhotra, Hotram. And then his tongue is the sacrificial ladle. It's amazing. His nostrils, the ghee ladle. His belly is the Ida vessel. Ears, the chamasa container, the mouth, the prasitra vessel, throat, soma plates. His chewing is our sacrifice, which is the Agnihotram. And then it goes on and on, talking about his neck and his different things in his body. So this is amazing, how he's the personification of sacrifice. So he's the enjoyer. And whatever form Krishna takes, he's like this. He accepts our services in that way. So we see from the beginning of this pastime, we saw descriptions of the kingdom of God and how that place is untouched by time. And there's some nice verses that describe how people should become like this Vaikuntha mentality and try to really train ourselves up to become spiritually. So Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto, persons who always think in terms of enemy and friend are unable to ascertain the supersoul within themselves. Not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant in the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this situation has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. And then even Lord Brahma, he prays to Krishna, O Supreme One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you're employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. So this is Brahma. He's able to see the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, and is revealing it to the demigods. So there's so many other prayers we could mention, how the Supreme Lord comes and he gives his mercy, and the demigods, how they appreciate him in this way. So we'll go on. So we saw how Jai and Vijay, they were responsible for not allowing unqualified persons into Vaikuntha. But by a divine arrangement, they stopped these wandering naked children. And so Actually, the whole thing is that the Supreme Lord, He's the super soul, and He knows everyone's heart. And He detected that Jaya and Vijaya wanted to give the experience of Vira, the pleasure of fighting. So this indirect expression of ecstatic love, which is impossible in Vaikuntha, so they thought the Lord is being deprived of this mallow. So Krishna made this special arrangement for them. So Krishna fulfills many desires by His pastimes with His devotees. Not only His desires, but the devotees' desires. And then we saw how when they were cursed, you know, the Lord came with His consort, and you could see they were so lovely and beautiful. The word was Valgu, very beautiful. So His qualities were just enchanted and enchanting to the four Kumaras, and they just fell in love with Him. And this is the whole purpose of the third canto. It's the stories of the Supreme Lord, and it talks about Brahadev, His entities. It talks about Sankhya Yoga, all to actually help save the living entities. Of course, throughout the whole Bhagavatam also. And here is where the Kumaras just became mad, just smelling the lotus feet, the lotus Tulsi at His lotus feet. And this is where many more descriptions of the kingdom of God is described there. These are the Kataya, the narrations. So it says, intelligent devotees derive true bliss by hearing and glorifying the Lord's activities, caring little for material happiness or even liberation, and finding ultimate pleasure in associating with pure devotees and engaging in pure devotional service. So the Kumaras are offered the very heartfelt prayers, expressing their joy in witnessing the personal form of the Supreme Lord through devotion. And it emphasized the supremacy of devotional service over all other types of pursuits. So that's very nicely. So we're just kind of reviewing, getting a visual, you know, review of the pastime. So we see here, Kashyapa Muni was willing to satisfy his wife's desires, but he said, can you just wait a few seconds, you know? There's a delay, it's a very inauspicious time. But she couldn't wait. And therefore, that, you know, there was this result to that, which is that time was very inauspicious. And because of that time, there's very horrible looking ghosts and constant companions of Lord Shiva. They're visible at that time. And Krishna's looking for a particular womb to place them because He's merciful to everyone, even these ghosts and Buddhas. So, you know, at this time they came and they found a place right there. And just so happened, this is where Jaya and Vijaya were placed, in the womb of Kashyapa Muni and his wife there. So this is what happened. They were born of Diti. And these demons, they were very tall and strong, and they were adorned with riches, and they thought they had it all. You see, and this is what people, they try to make it in the world so they can have it all. But these demigods, this is where Lord Brahma was explaining to them that this was the cause of the cosmic darkness, these demons, the sons of Diti. And this just gives you an indication how powerful they were. And the Supreme Lord had to come and kill them Himself. So in essence here, the demoniac persons, they cause harm through their aggression, pride, and lust for power. But the Supreme Lord incarnates to defeat such demons and protect the pious. So we must seek that goodness over demoniac qualities. So this pastime, it contains the profound truth of facing our modern demons within and without. So here it described very poetically how in the fifth canto it actually describes this, how it actually Bhumi, the Lord herself, the earth herself was explaining that you lifted me up, the earth, from the Garbhodak ocean at the end of your tusks, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks a lotus flower from the water, I bow down before you. So she's remembering the pastime. And also, this is another quote, and it says, from I think it was this chapter, how he rose from the water just as an elephant emerges with its female companion when assailed by an alligator. This is when Lord Rahadev came out of the water. He was like an elephant, you know, to fight with the demon Hiranyaksha. So here's some other visuals giving us an understanding of what it may have looked like. So he descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities. So he actually lifts the globe for the benefit of all living entities. And here he goes, the Supreme Lord. He's the guardian of the worlds. He's the real guardian of the galaxy, not some imagined so-called heroes. So he's the all-powerful protector of the universe. He upholds Dharma. And here's another beautiful painting depicting the Lord picking up the earth. And here we see the battle between Lord Boar and the demon Hiranyaksha. This is a divine combat, an epic fight between good and evil. So this is where the proud and falsely glorious Daita, he paid little heed to those words of Runa. And this is what happened. He was actually defeated. Here's another depiction. These are ISKCON. Yeah, this particular one. This one was from that image where they show the Das avatars of the 10 incarnations around Krishna. And this was a small thing, and I just took it out and enhanced it so we could see it better. So I thought it was a really nice depiction. So this is nice. So it describes, we learned how the prayers of the demigods or the devotees, they're not compared to the prayers of the demons. Because you know the prayers of the demons, they're filled with sinful desires. They pray to the demigods. They may even pray to Krishna, but not really, because they never get there. But here it shows a big difference. And when Lord Raha heard the prayers of the demigods, he smiled and he accepted their prayer with a loving glance. So actually, in the seventh canto, we're going to hear this pastime again. It describes how the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. And the summary of the chapter basically is that King Parikshit inquired why Lord Krishna killed demons like Sishupal when he's supposed to be equal to all. So Sishupal was another incarnation of Jayan Vijay. And so this is when Krishna killed him with the Sudarshan Chakra and he entered into his body. So then Sukadeva Goswami explained that the Lord is beyond material qualities like attachment and aversion. And his actions may seem partial, but they're for everyone's benefit. We saw in the first slide how the same pastime is described to Maitreya, by Maitreya to Vidura. And here again, it's Sukadev to Maharaj Parikshit. So Narada here in this chapter describes how Jayan Vijay cursed by the sages to take birth as demons. And they took three births as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Sishupal, and Dantavarka. And even though they were envious of Krishna, they were constantly thinking of him. And it enabled Jaya and Vijaya to return back to the spiritual world. So even enmity towards God is liberating. But devotional service with love is the highest perfection. So Krishna personally killed these demons. They were actually his devotees, Jaya and Vijaya, to absolve them of their demoniac mentality, and it liberated them. So in essence, that chapter is saying how Krishna is actually absolute and is equal to all, and his actions for everyone's benefit, though they may seem partial, and constant remembrance of God in any way purifies a living being and relieves him of material bondage. So even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his youth, he exhibited this form of Lord Raha. So it's nice. So in that chapter, it's called the Mahaprabhu in His Youth in the Adi 17. And it describes from verse 18 and 19. And Prabhupada in the purport talks about deity worship. And he said that, you know, we have to perform these special forms of worship to please the Lord. And so the Lord was very pleased by that. And the devotees were in ecstasy. It's described that they were in ecstasy for like 21 hours, or called Mahaprakash. And so during that time, Lord Chaitanya was manifesting different forms of his different incarnations, like, you know, Murari Gupta, he showed Ramachandra, and many other people, he was showing different things. And so in verse 19, it says that one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. So this is what he did. He began to cry out, Sukara, Sukara, you know, the boar incarnation of the Lord. And then he assumed the form. You can see Lord Chaitanya there, and then above him is the boar. And so this is, he carried this pot of just picked up a pot to represent the earth for his pastime as Lord Raha. So it's beautiful. So we're all fortunate to see the Prabhupada because he brought these festivals to us. He took the pain to come to the West and preach Krishna consciousness to the most fallen. And he is the best of the servant leaders and created many more Vaishnava leaders. As we can see, even now, it's still going on. As some of the devotees said during Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, that, you know, they're so happy to see the young devotees taking up Krishna consciousness and becoming leaders. And, you know, the young devotees taking sannyas and so many things. It's so nice to see that. So Prabhupada, at the age of 69, just within 12 years, he circled the globe 14 times, opened 108 temples, he initiated 5,000 disciples, translated 60 books, he gave over 4,000 lectures, he made Hare Krishna a household word in every major city in the world. And then he only came to America with 40 rupees. And now he has mansions practically in every major city in the world. So that's a good business Prabhupada started. But it's a spiritual business. So in the 11th canto, there's a purport Prabhupada doesn't say, but the disciples say. Lord Krishna himself also states that any person, despite his material situation of life, can become the most dear devotee of the Lord by full surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is why Prabhupada started ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, just to continue that mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that way the fallen people of Kali Yuga can take advantage of this special mercy of the Vaishnavas and join the Hare Krishna movement and perfect their lives and go back to Godhead. Purify themselves, the Chaito Darpana Marjanam. So this is what we have. This is a verse in the first canto. It talks about the captain of the ship. We accept, you know, Prabhupada is the captain of the ship. You know, that verse, Tvam na sandarshito datra. So that expresses, that verse, the gratitude and the recognition that meeting a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is by the will of providence. And the age of Kali, the present age, is described as dangerous, detrimental to human beings, good qualities. So human life is meant for self-realization. But in the age of Kali, people have forgotten this purpose. Our lifespan will decrease. People will lose their memory, finer sentiments, their strength, their better qualities. And this verse actually acknowledges that the age poses great difficulties for those seeking self-realization. So people absorbed in sense gratification, and they neglect self-realization due to madness and ignorance. So this educational system that we have today is focused on sense gratification rather than spiritual growth. So we have to follow the enlightened authorities and follow in their footsteps and accept the bona fide representatives of Suta Goswami as the captain of the ship. So the ship represents the message of Lord Krishna, which can be found in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse emphasizes the challenging nature of the age of Kali and the importance of seeking spiritual guidance to navigate through this and achieve self-realization. Just see the contrast. Wouldn't you rather be here serving the divine couple in the spiritual world? There's a nice verse and purport in the 10th canto. And I'd like to just read there what Srila Prabhupada said in the purport. Because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, people have generally formed two groups, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. And sometimes there's rivalry between them. Essentially, those who are interested in material enjoyment are Shaktas, and those interested in spiritual salvation and attaining the spiritual kingdom are Vaishnavas. Because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, they're interested in worshipping Maya Devi, the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas, however, are Suta Saktas, or pure Bhaktas, because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus, Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Rukmini Dwarkadish, whereas Durga Shaktas worship the material energy under different names. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the Hare Krishna movement. Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I don't know if we have time for any comments or questions, but if anybody has something burning they'd like to say, now is the time. Yes, Maharaj. Yeah, we just have to. Yeah, you say we have to listen, like to hear about the fight, but I think people have to do their services, but I would recommend they listen to your narration of that from the Bhagavatam, because you do it very nicely and dramatically. So it's available online, right? All your narrations, Amla Bhakta, on the whole entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. Jai. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Jai. Yeah, they did.
Not only three verses, but actually four.
They took an extra one.
Yeah.
Just to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
Exactly.
They had a special appearance.
Yeah.
Dad, we're still waiting for you.
Yeah.
Come.
But them, I cannot lift them.
Oh, we could have a cart. Who do you want to take them to, your cart?
Yeah, okay, I'll take them to my. I'll bring a man.
Okay. We'll help you.
Yeah. And then picture I get.